Blog Talk Radio.
And here we go. The Watchman song.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. It's good to be with you today. It is Tuesday, April 23rd, 2019. We have been on a mountaintop the last several days as we were walking towards the great feast of Passover, the feast of unleavened bread, the feast of first fruits. If you're following the calendar and the counting of the Omer, today is the third day, and at the sunset tonight, it will begin the fourth day of the count to the 50th day of Shavuot. But today, to be quite honest with you, I'm feeling something a bit funky in the atmosphere. Not sure what it is. Maybe we've just been on a mountaintop and we're kind of walking down into a valley. Not really sure what's going on, but the last time this happened to me, it was just days before major catastrophes hit our country. I'm telling you the truth. There's something very strange going on, and I hate to call it feelings, because when we talk about feelings, they are quite deceptive. As a matter of fact, let me share with you a little article coming out of CBN or the Prophecy News Network talking about a man that was walking by feelings. It's been said before that if your God never tells you to do anything you don't want to do, your God is probably you. If there were an Americanized translation of the Apostles' Creed for today, it would be something like this. I believe in God the Father Almighty, who always supports my feelings. Well, this kind of self-centered faith is epidemic both within the church and without, in conservative congregations and progressive ones. The most recent case in point is Democratic presidential candidate and South Bend, Indiana Mayor Pete Buttigieg. At a recent fundraiser, he said on his same-sex marriage, and I quote, "It has made me a better man and moved me closer to God. If being gay was a choice, it was a choice that was made far above my pay grade." He then added, somewhat out of the blue, and I quote again, "That's the thing I wish the Mike Pences of the world would understand, that if you have a problem with who I am, your problem is not with me. Your quarrel, sir, is with my creator." Well, This was, of course, a political cheap shot. Mike Pence's anti-LGBTQ reputation was secured a long time ago when, as governor of Indiana, he supported religious freedom legislation that sent progressives into hysterics, even though it was a mirror state-level copy of federal legislation that Bill Clinton and Ted Kennedy had proposed. So as Mayor Pete and the long list of Democratic presidential contenders gear up for their primaries, they have to pander to their liberal base. And what better way to do that than bashing the guy whose boss you hope to unseat? For his part, Vice President Mike Pence refused to bait, offering compliments instead of for Mayor Peter's years of public service and adding, he knows me better than that. But Mayor Pete's comments are worth thinking through. If for no other reason, then it would have been unthinkable not that long ago to try to enlist God in support of homosexual relationships. Feelings have become so central to personal identity across our culture, even in religion, that to suggest the Bible, God, the church, or any other authority has a right to question those feelings is tantamount to heresy. Well, Buttigieg and authors like Matthew Vines, who wrote the book God and the Gay Christian, are in essence saying, God made me this way, and I know this because he would never ask me to go against my feelings. Well, unsurprisingly, the secular press has claimed that this new culturally conformed Christianity, as articulated by Mayor Pete, will, of course, win the day. Terry Mattingly at Get Religion noted USA Today almost evangelistic tone in reporting Buttigieg's words and how they wrote as if the mayor's reading of the Bible is a defensible theological position. Well, the reality, of course, is that the mayor's quarrel isn't with Mike Pence. His quarrel is with the clear text of Scripture that both identify what marriage is and what it is for, as well as how homosexual behavior is sinful. His quarrel is with natural law, reflected in the biological roles our bodies play and the universally embraced connection of marriage and procreation, even by societies not influenced by Christian morality. And of course, his quarrel is with 2,000 years of unanimous Christian witness on marriage and sexual morality. So as Everett Piper wrote at the Washington Times in reply to Mayor Pete, we don't get to make up our own version of Christianity. The faith delivered once for all is a faith delivered. It was delivered to the saints. It's a revealed faith. The religions we make up based on our feelings aren't different religions altogether. Buttigieg, Peter, may feel that his same-sex relationship has somehow brought him closer to God, but it has not. If you love me, Jesus says in John 14:15, you will keep my commandments. Now, gay people aren't singled out by Jesus' words here, but they are absolutely included. And to be clear, Mike Pence's feelings on the issue aren't of any more authority than Mayor Peter's feelings. No, this decision was made way above either man's pay grade, and that is the truth. So when it comes to our feelings, they cannot be trusted. Until the soul is completely sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ and by the grace of God, until our feelings submit to a greater power, the governing authority of God, our Creator, who established all things, created all things, we need to be careful. And yet that is the society we are living in. If it feels good, do it. And if you hurt my feelings, I'm going to sue you and I'm going to make you an enemy of the state. That's where it's going today. And talking about feelings, if anybody wants to get into the spirit rather than just feelings, why isn't the world feeling the genocide going on in Nigeria today? The fact is, Christians are being massacred in Nigeria by Fulani and Boko Haram jihadists, and no one seems to care. The most severe persecution of these defenseless Christians, our brothers and sisters, who make up half of Nigeria's total population, has been taking place mostly in the Muslim north of the country, which is governed by Sharia law, and in the states known as the Middle Belt, which are a transition zone between the northern and southern states. According to the human rights organization, International Christian Concern, here's a quote, Fulani militants continued to carry out violent attacks throughout Nigeria's Middle Belt region in March. The brutal attacks perpetrated by these hardline Islamic militants persistently spark fear among Christians living in the Middle Belt as death tolls continue to rise. Last month, at least 150 people were killed. You know, you might stop there for a moment and say, well, gosh, why don't you just move out of the Middle Belt? Well, if you do, you give up ground and territory, don't you? Well, we continue on. Nigerian Bishop William Amov Avanya of Benue State said, and I quote, Fulani tribesmen armed to the teeth are murdering pregnant women and children and destroying our small holdings. This is a time bomb that threatens to ignite the whole region. We cannot wait for a mass genocide to happen before intervening, he added. And here are the largest attacks that took place in the month of March. On March 4th, 2019, Fulani militants attacked Benue State, killing 23. Why wasn't that in the news? March 11th, 2019, Fulani militias attack Kajuru, burning more than 100 homes, killing 52. Why wasn't that in the news? March 18th, 2019, Boko Haram seized a Christian-majority town in Adamawa State, inhabited by more than 370,000 people. Well, the ICC regional manager for Africa, Nathan Johnson, who recently visited Nigeria, told Gatestone that this deadly violence began less than 20 years ago. He said, and I quote, it really only started in 2001 after riots between Muslims and Christians in the Plateau region left more than 1,000 people dead and many churches destroyed. There were also deadly riots in 2008 and 2010, and the tension between the two communities has been growing ever since. Johnson noted that the current violence, which has been getting worse since early 2017, is slightly different in that it is a series of targeted attacks on Christian communities attempting to displace farmers and take land for herders. He said that the hostility includes a complex set of factors: socioeconomic, which is herder versus farmer, ethnic, mainly Fulani versus everyone else except Hausa, and religious, Muslim versus Christian. However, the Nigerian government and the mainstream media have downplayed the fact that radical Muslims are slaughtering Christians communities in Nigeria. They would much rather describe the crises as a clash between two ethnic or socioeconomic communities who are killing each other, even though nearly 80% of the casualties are Christians. And Johnson also added, Christians in Nigeria are treated as second-class citizens in the 12 northern states where Sharia law is implemented. They are victimized in many ways. Christian girls are kidnapped and forced into marriage to Muslim men. Pastors are abducted for ransom. Churches are vandalized or completely destroyed. The Christians that he met during his recent trip to Nigeria, who have suffered from both the Fulani and Boko Haram, are hoping that others around the world are concerned about and praying for them. Many lack food, water, shelter, because they have been driven off their lands and into cities where they cannot farm or find work. Hundreds of thousands of Christian children across the country are unable to go to school because their parents cannot afford it, do not have access to it, or fear that their children could be attacked or abducted on their way to or in the classroom. As the Middle East expert Raymond Ibrahim wrote last year, and I quote, the Nigerian government and the international community have from the start done little to address the situation. This lack of participation is not surprising. They cannot even acknowledge its roots, namely the intolerant ideology of jihad. As a result, the death toll of Christians has only risen and will likely continue to grow exponentially until such time that this reality is not only acknowledged, but addressed. Remember in Revelation chapter 6, in the opening of the fifth seal, there were souls under the altar crying out, how long, O God? And they were given white robes, and they were told to just wait a little longer till your brethren are killed the same way that you have been killed for your faith in Jesus Christ. Well, we seem to be living in the modern day killing fields where Christians are sport and they are the target. But here in America, we're more concerned about some homosexual guy running for the presidency of the United States, right next door to the black woman who's an outspoken lesbian, who's the new mayor of Chicago. And so we have a growing Sodom and Gomorrah reality all around us, but who cares? Because we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings by saying anything, but we don't feel anything about our brothers and sisters being murdered, raped, tortured in other parts of the world, because feelings, nothing more than feelings. I know I'm getting a little bit outraged as I'm speaking. I hope you are too, but what's the point? I mean, why even get excited about it? What's the point? As long as it's not bothering me, then why should I care at all? Why should I even think about doing anything? I guess there's nothing really to do. I mean, who's going to jump on an airplane and go to Nigeria? Who's going to even trust sending money to some organization to get food and water? Because it'll be taken over by Boko Haram. They're going to take the money. They're going to take the food, the water. So I guess we just wait until it comes to our shores. But that'll never happen. So we may as well just think and believe that we're the most blessed people on the face of the earth. We don't have any problems. We don't see any trouble. Just continue to live in the saturated society of abortion and bloodshed and homosexuality and lesbianism and transgenderism and pornography. Just continue to live in the midst of it. And while you're going, just let everybody know that you're a really super good person, right? Yep, it's a little bit weird for me today, and I don't know why it feels so weird. Maybe we could let Maxine talk to us for just a little bit. Someone sent me this earlier today. This is the best analogy yet. Leave it to Maxine to come up with a solution for the mess that U.S., Canada, the U.K., Germany, Australia, New Zealand is now in economically. Here's what Maxine says. She said, I bought a bird feeder, I hung it in my back porch, and filled it with seed. What a beauty of a bird feeder it was, as I filled it lovingly with seed. Within a week, we had hundreds of birds taking advantage of the continuous flow of free and easily accessible food. But then, the birds started building nests in the boards of the patio above the table and next to the barbecue. Then came the junk. It was everywhere. On the patio, the tile, the chairs, the table, everywhere. You know, the poo-poo. Then some of the birds turned mean. They would dive bomb me and try to peck me, even though I had fed them out of my own pocket. And other birds were boisterous and loud. They sat on the feeder and squawked and screamed at all hours of the day and night and demanded that I fill it when it got low on food. After a while, I couldn't even sit on my own back porch anymore. So I took down the bird feeder. And in 3 days, the birds were gone. I cleaned up their mess and took down the nasty and many nests they had built all over the patio. Soon, the backyard was like it used to be, quiet, serene, and no one demanding their rights to a free meal. Now, let's see. Our government gives out free food, subsidized housing, free medical care, and free education, and allows anyone born here to be an automatic citizen. Then, the illegals came by the tens of thousands. Suddenly, our taxes went up to pay for free services. Small apartments or housing five families. You have to wait 6 hours to be seen by an emergency room doctor. Your child's second grade class is behind other schools because over half the class doesn't speak English. Cornflakes now come in a bilingual box. I have to press one to hear my bank talk to me in English, and people waving flags other than ours are squawking and screaming in the streets demanding more rights and free liberties. Just my opinion, but maybe it's time for the government to take down the bird feeder. I don't know. What do you think? Maybe she has a point. Maybe she has a point. Well, as I said, coming onto the airwaves today, we are feeling just a little bit awkward. There's no doubt, and I'm not really sure what is going on. in the atmosphere. But every once in a while, you know, when you've been on a mountaintop and you kind of condescend and you go down into a valley, it's a different atmosphere. And while our hearts are still at peace with God, we're enjoying the presence of God, there's something wrong. And I could feel it. Maybe you could feel it. But then again, I don't want to go by my feelings. So maybe, is there something we need to discern right now by the Holy Spirit? Maybe it's my concern for my dear brother in the Lord, Sean, who a couple of nights ago was getting out of a truck and fell on the concrete and broke his hip and went into surgery last night. I don't know. Maybe it's my brother, Randolph, who just came out of the hospital because he had blood clots in his body and people had to take care of that. I don't know. Maybe it's the fact that my beloved wife, Patricia, is going to do a little traveling and I'm going to be alone with the little dog, Max, for a few days. How am I going to eat? I don't know. I don't know what it is, quite frankly. I don't know what the problem is. But I fear, like so many different people in a godly sense, that there's just something out of whack. Maybe it's the ring of fire. Now, experts are talking about the recent earthquakes going on in the Philippines and different parts of the world, and maybe all those millions of people on the coastal regions of the Pacific Ocean are in massive danger right now. It could be that martial law is once again growing. We heard about that years ago. We've heard about the big one, but now they're talking about a 12.2 on the Richter scale. 12.2. Are you kidding me? I mean, a 9.0 would be enough to shake Southern California. I don't know. 12.2 sounds pretty big. Millions of people in the view. Martial law. I don't know. Is that because of the new flu that's come into town in California? The measles? Where did that come from all of a sudden? Is there something wrong, or are we just kind of being exaggerated and embellishing things? Or is there something really wrong? I think there's something wrong with mayors, presidents, governors, judges being homosexuals and lesbians. I think that's a major problem. Why? Because according to the Word of God in Romans chapter 1, and I'm being very sincere with all of my heart, we have a problem when it comes to these types of people in positions of power, because in verse 26 of Romans chapter 1, it says this: "For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another." Maybe your feeling is a lust feeling, Mr. Pettigrew. "Men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet or due them." Wow. What is the recompense of their error, of their sin that was due them? Well, it says in verse 28, "Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient." A reprobate mind. You ever stop and ask yourself what a reprobate mind is? Well, let's take a look at what the word reprobate actually means. It's not a very happy phrase, is it? It's mentioned four times in the Bible, once in Jeremiah chapter 6, referring to men's hearts, in Romans 1:28, 2 Timothy 3:8, and Titus 1:16, and they all carry the same meaning. It's from a Greek word in number 96, which is adokimos, and it simply means not approved, worthless, cast away, rejected. And it's referring to the testing of metals or coins. And it's referring to bringing the coin or the metal and testing it to see if it's worth anything. If it's worth something, you put it in one pile. If it's not, you reject it and throw it into another pile. So we have these rejects. We have these castaways. We have these, according to God's word, unapproved and worthless minds in positions of power. Now, I, again, don't know about you, but when I stop and think about how many of these, according to God's word, worthless, unapproved, rejected castaways are making decisions for our country, I guess it's a bit concerning. I think it's a bit concerning. It should be for everybody. We're not just trying to be mean, but we live in a country where we have elected officials that are supposed to guide the nation and uphold the Constitution and bring back a moral value and to bring our society into something that's normal. But unfortunately, we haven't lived in a normal society for a very long time. For what normal society legislates and legalizes the mass murder of the most innocent of life in the womb because they don't want to be responsible to raise the little baby? I mean, what group of people on the face of the earth mass murder or allow a Gosnell, was that his name in Philadelphia, in Pittsburgh, Gosnell, to have these mass murders sticking these instruments in a woman's womb and murdering babies? And oh my gosh, you've seen Unplanned, you know what it's about. What normal society? We haven't been in normal for a long time. What normal society promotes and legislates and brings to the forefront that men can marry men and that's normal, and now we have guys running for president that are out openly gay, and we have mayors that are openly lesbian? I mean, when is that normal? It's normal when you suffocate the spirit of the living God, the word of God, and you demasculate the creator of the universe, and you remove from the Messiah the strength of his being, the potency of his being. And like Jezebel, you remove the testicles from the man, and you have Ahabs running around with Jezebels everywhere, and you have a demasculated society of no strength to stand against what is evil. And that's what we live in, and we think it's normal that you, everybody that you're talking to presses a button is on, you know, pornography, watching the most gross images. People are getting hurt because they're falling into sin, and the spirits behind these images are creating problems for them. And, you know, when is normal? Our elected officials were to keep our country moral, righteous, not even from a Christian perspective, just a natural law, for goodness sake, perspective, right? Like was said earlier. And we have learned to live in the abnormal. We have learned to go to church and to hear nothing that would pierce our hearts or penetrate our minds or break our pride or cause us to bow or to come prostrate before a living God because our sins are so exposed. That doesn't even exist anymore. In fact, if you preach against sin, you're a legalist, you're Old Testament. You have all kinds of paradigms that are, you know, against our feelings. You're intolerant. You're self-righteous. You're holier than thou. Now, this is a problem. The gospel used to break people's hearts, but that's not even tolerable. And if you get into the uncomfortable conversation about homosexuality, about lesbianism, about abortion, about pornography, about LGBTQ, transgenderism, or whatever, if you get into this, you have to tread very carefully as to not offend anybody, because after all, we are the tolerant lovers. But that's all a facade. It's not real. It's not real. You're growing and you're living in a bubble. It is a facade. It is make-believe. It is not real. And anybody that once had a little anger against it, they were you know, ridiculed. They were put out. Oh, look at that angry prophet Jeremiah over there. How dare he speak? Who does he think he is? Let's get that guy out of the way. And pastors that used to speak out, they have actually succumbed as well and have become part of it because they just couldn't stand the pressure anymore. They were losing people in their congregation. The tithes were going down, and all that money and time that they spent at the university getting their degrees for religion Well, now they got to go get a job at McDonald's because, after all, to speak the hardcore truth of God in a society like this, you may find yourself with eight people in your congregation. And if none of them are rich, now what are you going to do? I know. We're supposed to be quiet. We're supposed to join a mega church, go to Joel Osteen's church in Houston. And you could see how powerful Joel Osteen's church is, by the way. The impact that they're having in Houston. What impact? Oh, I forgot. The six-story largest abortion clinic in the country is housed there. Oh, that's right. The outspoken homosexual mayors and governors of that place. Oh, that's right. The place where they're building the first robotic brothel where men could go and have sex with robots. That's right. Yeah, they're having some impact. But then again, we're not here to rail on anybody. I'm just saying. I mean, if you want to do it and kind of get along with everybody, just go to Joel's church, Mr. Rogers' neighborhood. You know, it's and why cry out? What's the point? What's the point? You can't do anything about it, right? It's so funny to me that Christians really feel there's not much you can do, but the only thing to do is to go save people, right? But I got a question about saving people. If you're part of that paradigm that is silent in the face of adversity to become tolerant and you have no testicle fortitude, as my dear brother tells us all the time, no testicle fortitude. Forgive me for saying that, by the way. That's his deal. But I get it, you know, very clearly. But if you're part of that and then you're going to go out and you're going to save Johnny from his drug addiction and bring him into your church and he's going to become one of you, didn't Jesus say something about going land and sea, making one convert, and by the time you do, they're twice the child of hell than before? I mean, I don't mean to be honest to God. I don't know. I'm just feeling something awkward today. There's something wrong. I'm hoping the sun's going to come out or something. Maybe Patricia will decide to stay home. I don't know. I don't know what's going on, but I could sense it. There's a real demonic activity. And do you know that our sin as a human race empowers the demons to become stronger and bolder in their attack against what is good and right before God? Did you know that? Do you know the demons aren't attacking the lukewarm? He's already got them. The satanic attack is against the righteous. I would have to imagine that those Christians in Nigeria we were talking about are probably more righteous than most of us here in the United States. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. Hopefully tomorrow will be a better day to the day. I don't know. I mean, I'm keeping my eyes on. We are in the third day of the counting of the Omer, and tonight when the sun sets, we're going to read the prayer, right? Hopefully we'll remember that, but how important is it after all? You know, we'll read the prayer maybe, and then we'll get into the fourth day, and we'll keep counting down to the 50th day. But, you know, why do that? I mean, really, what's the point of even counting down the Omer? That's Old Testament, right? And why don't we just, you know, forget all of it, I guess. You know, let's just go, you know, about our business. Yeah, I think even my dog is groaning. Little Maxie, he's groaning and travailing right now in the spirit. He's like, man, you sure you want to go in this direction, Dad? And I don't know. I didn't have any direction. I just know I woke up and throughout the night, man, I feel a shift in the atmosphere and I don't know what it is. And I don't think it's personal. There's something going on in the spirit, and there are some things happening around and about. We happen to believe that Brother Sean, he's going through something right now, but it's all going to work together for good. We absolutely have that faith. We absolutely believe that the people that are honoring God are going to enjoy the benefits of something powerful who want to do something to advance the kingdom of God. I believe that. I believe that there is a benefit to counting the Omer every single day and looking forward to the 50th day for the next Shavuot Pentecost, where we embrace the relationship of the Holy Spirit, as we have in Passover, embracing our relationship with the Lamb of God who shed his blood, the Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua. I mean, we're all good with that. It appears our needs are met according to God's riches and glory. We have no personal needs or agendas. We spent time with some friends yesterday, had a good day. I mean, everything seems to be normal, but there's something wrong. Does anybody else feel that today? Or am I just crying out to the wind? Well, I'm going to open up the telephone lines. The number to call is 818-369-0326. And I'm going to take our first call coming in from my dear friend, Bill. Good morning, Bill. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Well, Pastor, I believe what that saying was, testicular fortitude, but you got it pretty close. But, yeah, you're 100% correct. I hadn't heard from my son in a while. And anyway, he called me this morning just to rail and mock and kind of belittle me a little bit. And I was just, you know, kind of curious about what was going on. I had sent him some information a while back to peruse and told him. I said, I just found this interesting, thought you might find it interesting. And anyway, it didn't, that mocking, laughing spirit came out and belittling spirit. And I just started, you know, chuckling. I said, well, son, I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing with you. Cause I said, I used to be hard headed and dogmatic like you are right now. And then he went on to talk about some other stuff. And I said, well, son, I said, let's put this in perspective. I said, the Bible is the best-selling book ever written. Nothing's even come close to it. I said, when Jesus arose from the dead, over 500 witnesses saw him rise from the dead. And I said, not all of them people were believers, but yet over 500 witnesses. Well, his excuse says, well, yeah, Dad, but you can't recreate Jesus rising from the dead in a lab. And I said, you're right, you can't. I said, but ever since Jesus died and imparted that power to us, people have been raised from the dead throughout history, and it's been proven with witnesses and people that have been clinically dead and certified dead and come back to life. I said, son, it happens all the time. It happens every day. And you're not going to hear about it in mainstream news. But the point being said, what you went back earlier, that spirit realm is getting so twisted and so tight right now that you and I, and people that believe in the Word of God and what and how it's written, we're going to come under attack. But you know what, Pastor? That's why he gave us a big sword and broad shoulders. With the Holy Spirit, we can do all things. Have a blessed day.
Amen. And that's a true point right there. And by the way, Jesus Christ has been born again, not in the scientific halls of some laboratory, but in the very tomb of our hearts. The Messiah has been born again. It's obvious by the work of the Holy Spirit and the transformation of our lives that faith in Jesus Christ and receiving him into our lives and receiving that seed and that Holy Spirit, there has been a transformation and a great work of God in our lives. I'm waiting for your call this morning, 818-369-0326. Maybe you've got some comments about what we're talking about today. Maybe you feel a little awkward. Maybe this is the greatest day of your life. Man, there's no better sound than to hear the birds chirping. I just absolutely love the birds chirping. Let's take our next call. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. Area code 605.
Hello.
Hello.
Well, yes, we haven't slept all night, my husband and I, and we couldn't understand what was going on spiritually.
Right.
And why our sleep was disturbed. And we talked about it this morning. And then I opened up my iPad and I'm reading something about what's going on through a brother that puts a news thing on. And something's happening in, on the southern border. And we could be facing martial law very soon. And this is a quote. He said, either 6 weeks, because this is all in the making. They're having a meeting right now. Top officials in 6 weeks, 6 months, or what, something like that. But it's coming down soon. And then, on top of that, I'm cleaning out all my files that I've been having for years. And I come across David Wilkerson's prophetic word that he had for our nation years ago, and this piece of paper that I was reading about what he saw from God, and he related it to the people, was way back 9 years ago. Somebody sent this to me, and it was kind of a synopsis of what he saw. And he saw, I'm going to just say this right out the way it came, 6 months of horrible horror is coming to America, the worst hell we've ever experienced. And it will be 6 months of that going on in our country. And we know from what the prophets have spoke, the visions people have gotten, and then a friend that we knew personally, Dimitri Dudeman, these things are the judgment of God on our country. So it behooves us to get under the divine protection that Psalms 91 speaks of in the Bible. Thank you.
Amen. Well, that is the truth. Psalm 91 is always the right place to be. There's no doubt about that. And, you know, we've heard this message, right, for a long, long time. And we've seen things happen. It's not like we're waiting for, oh, you guys always say something's going to happen. I think people just have a short memory of all the things since 9/11, 2001, particularly if you wanted a starting point, have happened in this country, the transformations and the laws that have been changed and all the crazy stuff that's gone on. We are living in a different world today. You know that. I know that. And we need to be those resurrected saints. There's no doubt about that, walking in the power and the authority of the kingdom of God and having the intellect of the Holy Spirit to guide our lives. Now, I think one of the I've always said this, and people get a little upset with me about it, but it's just my thought. I think one of the best things that could happen in our world, if we refuse to repent and acknowledge God and get back to just natural laws of things and, you know, just a basic morality, you know, just normal, which we haven't been in forever now. It seems like our whole generation, nothing's normal. I mean, nothing is normal. Kids today's attitude towards their parents isn't even normal. It's just a lot of abnormal stuff going on. You know, one of the great things that could happen is a lights out scenario, an electromagnetic pulse. I happen to believe that that would do most of us a favor. Why? Because we're getting enslaved to the technology today. We're getting enslaved to so much. And I was sitting out the other day doing nothing, just listening to the birds. Oh, my gosh. Lord, that was so beautiful, just listening to the birds and nature and the wind blowing through the trees. And I mean, that was so life-giving. And yet we're spending so much time everywhere we go. So I don't know. I'm a little bit upset about the people. Now, I know that the right thing to do is to continue to vote against, you know, people like Peter Buttigieg. And but we keep seeing these people getting promoted and they're getting into offices. They're making decisions. They have worthless, reprobate minds. And yet they still have this seat of power. What is that going to do? Do you think it's going to work for the Christian community or against the Christian community in America today? And we're like the proverbial frog in the water, tepid. It's normal. There's no need to worry until it gets heated up subtly. And then you're boiled, you're cooked. And my God, it just feels that way so strongly. So not sure what your day is like today, but maybe you'd like to weigh in on our conversation, share some thoughts. Maybe you want to encourage our listeners today. Maybe you want to, you know, just kind of take a different view, you know, turn the coin over to another side. Is there a different story? Maybe some advice as what we all need to be doing right now in this time of crisis. And what is it? I don't know if it's a sadness. I don't know if it's a discernment of something, a premonition of something ready to happen. I don't know. We've heard so many things for so long and things have happened. But that major lights out 6 months of absolute devastation, that's a tough one. I don't know. I honestly don't know yet what it is. But I know this. We're going to keep our eyes on God. I remember in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, there was a king, I think it was Hezekiah, and he received a report one day in his little Judah, you know, this little tiny remnant Judah, that the armies were coming. This is all in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Five massive armies were coming to destroy them. And when he heard the report, he fell on his face, he ripped his clothes, he cried out to God, and he prayed the most awesome prayer, reiterating the covenant that Yahweh made with Abraham. And he prayed. And while they were praying, and all the people gathered together in humble contrition with the babies and the wives and the husbands, everybody was there praying. All of a sudden, this guy begins to prophesy. He's mentioned once in the scriptures, and we never hear of him again. And he says, this is what you're going to do. Because you've humbled yourself, you're going to win this battle. For the battle is the Lord's, but the victory is yours. And this thing that has been commissioned against you is going to be turned around. And you know what actually happened? They went out, the little tiny remnant of Judah. God told them, go out against these five massive armies. And by the time they found these armies, God had brought so much confusion into their ranks, they wound up killing one another that not one of them escaped. And for 3 days, the little remnant of Judah was taken. And for some reason, these five great armies, they wore their best attire into battle. They had gold, silver, jewelry, clothing. I mean, you read the story, it's absolutely phenomenal. How many warriors go into battle? I guess they thought, we're moving. We're going to go wipe these people out. We're going to occupy in their place. But it didn't happen. And so I'm going to declare today, with your agreement, a shift right now in the camp of the righteous, that regardless of what's ready to go on in this world, regardless of what's happening, that we are going to maintain the blessing that God has brought into our lives, the blessing of peace, the blessing of joy, the blessing of love and fellowship and communion with the saints. We're going to begin to rejoice in the Lord our God. And we are in the days of unleavened bread. And it is a time of examination inwardly of what's going on in our hearts. And sometimes when things get like this, it's time to really get in there and say, Lord, what is it? Is there anything in my heart? Is there anything in my life that you're wanting to expose to the light so we can bring it up and out so that you can occupy and take more territory in my life, Jesus? Is there any sin in my heart? Have I done anything that is contrary to your will? And there's nothing wrong with asking those questions, particularly as we're in the day, the third day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and we're counting down the Yomer. There's nothing wrong with searching it out. So I declare God's peace right now, and in the name of Jesus, I'm going to pray for my brother Sean that he's coming up and out in resurrection power from the situation he was in. For my brother Randolph, he's coming up and out of the situation he was in. And maybe someone out there right now, our friends that called in that didn't sleep all night, we're going to pray up and out in the name of Jesus into the joy of the Lord, into light and peace. And maybe someone else out there listening right now, wherever you are, may God bring you up and out like he brought the Israelites during Passover, up and out of the house of bondage. Maybe there's intercession going on that we're not even aware of, and the Holy Spirit is making intercession. Maybe you're standing in the gap for a family member right now. Maybe there's something down there that is a somewhat of a burden that you've been carrying for a neighbor or a friend or a family member. There's something, and it's you're not able to really describe it, but it's there. Well, we just cast that care right now upon Jesus. Because the word of God says, casting your cares upon me because I love you. So we're going to cast every care, every burden, every concern right now on Jesus Christ, the burden bearer. Because he gives us a burden and it's light and a yoke and it's easy. And he has called us to carry our cross. So maybe we're just standing in the gap. And what about the country that we live in, this beautiful United States of America, this beautiful country where there are tens of thousands, if not hundreds or millions of people that love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength? We want to join with them right now in intercession and prayer. We want to decree and declare the power of God, and we would love to see the firm rebuke of the Lord against evil and wickedness. But the righteous judgment of God upon that. And you know, it seems to me that sometimes God's harshest judgment is not against the wicked. It's against the lukewarm. Ouch. Huh? Ouch. I mean, that's the one he says, I'll vomit you out of my mouth. And so let's just be sincere. I'm hearing sirens going off. We never hear sirens, right? And it's not going to let up. There are targets all over this country right now. ISIS has taken responsibility for the massive 310 people killed on Easter Sunday, or Resurrection Sunday, better said. So 310 people were killed in bombs. Their bodies were blown to smithereens. But their spirits are with the Lord, if they really love God. But there's targets all over this country. The new level of terrorism. Being in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing with the right people right now, remains the imperative. Don't wander. Be on purpose. God has given you a beautiful life to live. Live it, going back and forth. But the day the Holy Spirit says, don't go, then don't go. Be sensitive. Sensitive to the Holy Spirit. We've got about 10 minutes left in the broadcast. We're waiting for your call. The number is 818-369-0326. And if you happen to be on the line, you want to press 1 on your dial pad, and I will bring you directly into the conversation. You know, I'm so happy today about this thing that right now, 24 hours a day, and I want to say thank you to those and just congratulate. You know, let's give a celebration victory clap. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It has been working perfectly for the last month or so. OmegaRadio.org is broadcasting 24/7, any time of the day, anywhere in the world. People can go to www.OmegaRadio.org and hear a message about the kingdom of God. And if you ever hear anything that does not fit into the paradigm of who we are in Christ, let me know. We'll remove it. I do my best to get all the good stuff up there. In fact, after this radio broadcast on Omega Radio, Patricia Joy Xavier will be hosting a deliverance roundtable discussion. Those are some of the funnest gatherings because they sit around a round table and they have these great discussions on deliverance and a host of other topics. That'll be going on right at the top of the hour, 10 o'clock today. Do you need prayer for anything? We could pray for you. We will pray for you. And we will see results. You know, here's a funny thing about prayer. Has anybody, maybe somebody has an answer to this. This is an absolute truth. In our little congregation, there are people that need prayer, and they come for prayer, and they get healed immediately. We've seen that. Immediately healing. Other people feel a little better, and they gradually get better. Some people stay exactly the same. And other people say that we prayed and they got worse. What the heck is that? I mean, how do you analyze? I don't ever recall Jesus praying for anybody and they got worse, I don't think. Or did they really get worse? Or did the problem they have just simply rise and manifest and they need to continue on in prayer? I don't know. I'm not an expert on these things, but I know I pray for some people totally healed. Other people, man, I feel better. The burden is gone. I feel lighter. I hear it all the time. Patricia and I pray all the time. The elders in our church pray for people. They get healed. Doors start opening. Other people, kind of not so much. Other people, they say, well, I got worse. What is that? I, like you, want to see the supernatural power of Jesus manifest in this earth. I do. And my Aunt Sonia told me this many years ago. I used to be a rebel, believe it or not. I was a professor of Christianity probably 35 years ago. But, man, I was wild. I just was in trouble. I was stuck in addictions. But my Aunt Sonia grabbed me one time. She used to pray that I get flat tires on my car all the time because I was always going in the wrong places, doing the wrong thing with the wrong people at the wrong time. So she used to pray that my little car would get flat tires. And I'm telling you, I had more flat tires on that little car than I've ever dreamed. I mean, there were times I couldn't budge. And she called me into conference one afternoon. We were sitting on the back patio of our house in Escondido at the time. I was sharing a house with some other people. Nice house. Lots of territory in Escondido. And she looked at me, my Aunt Sonia, and she said to me, Vincent, don't you ever quit. Now, I didn't know that the prime minister over there in Europe, Churchill, said the same thing. Never quit. I didn't know that at the time. I didn't even know who he was. But my aunt looked at me and she says, don't you ever quit. And so in my spirit, I can't tell you how many times her words stood with me in times of testing. I just refused to give up. And there was always a breakthrough. And I refuse to give up on the anointing and the healing and the power and the authority of the scriptures. I refuse to give the devil any more power that he already has, right? The serpent on his belly became a dragon from Genesis to Revelation. He's been empowered. I refuse to give that power, and I refuse to give up. I'm going to keep laying my hands on the sick. I'm going to keep believing for resurrection power. I'm going to continue to believe that everything in this Bible is absolutely real, because I know it is. I know it's the truth. And my experience may not be lining up with it, but I am not going to judge God's word by my experience or my feelings like the world is in right now. The word of God is true. And I know when my faith comes to pure strength in that word of God, there's going to be action. I've already seen it. How about you? This word of God has saved my life, has renewed my mind, has changed my course. Got my friend Bob Higgins calling into me right now from Virginia on my cell phone. Bob, if you're out there, you need to call 818-369-0326. If you have a question or comment about the broadcast today, we'd love to hear from Bob. He's an awesome man of God, loves the Lord. So I want to say to you today, don't quit. Don't give up on anything. On your health issues, your relationship issues, your financial issues. Breakthrough is just ahead. And you know what? I do believe that God has saved the best for last. I am not opposed to the blessing of the Lord. I just don't think that we should be receiving all the blessings while being silent in the world that we live in. We have brothers and sisters being murdered in Nigeria right now. And the world doesn't even want to hear about it. But 50 Muslims in New Zealand, the whole world knew, and shame on everybody. And now they're telling us ISIS is responding, just like we said, that churches would be attacked as a result. And now ISIS has claimed responsibility that it was a response to the New Zealand shooting in the mosque. So 50 Muslims get shot and killed. It's all over the world. Thousands of Christians being murdered. Not a word said. That stinks. That stinks. Every Christian should raise their voice. Go somewhere today and tell this truth to somebody. Hey, did you hear about those 50 Muslims that were shot and killed in New Zealand? Oh, yeah, that was really bad, wasn't it? Yeah, well, did you hear the thousands that were being killed and are being killed right now in Nigeria? Did you know that? Well, no, I didn't know anything about that. Yeah, I wonder why the news didn't tell you that. And then dialogue with some people. Tell them about the hypocrisy, about the reprobate, worthless, useless minds that are being promoted into positions of power to run this nation. Would to God that he would move his hand and sweep them all away and bring up the true government of God into positions of power in this earth. And you know what? We don't need Washington, D.C. to authenticate the government of God in our lives. We could stand out like the prophets and the apostles and declare things to happen on this earth. Do you believe it? Do you want to go there? It's true. It's possible. We got one call coming in for, I've got 90 seconds left, but I'll take this call. 434-471. Good morning. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Yeah. Good morning, Vincent. This is Bob. I figured I'd get in before you finished up today.
Finish us up, Bob.
How are you doing, brother?
I'm blessed. I truly am blessed. A little weird today, but I'm blessed. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, anyway, Second Chronicles chapter 20. Great section on, against all odds, I believe I did a teaching on this one time. And Jehoshaphat and the children of Israel totally outnumbered. What'd they do? They set themselves to seek the Lord and proclaim the fast throughout the land. And I know we don't have a lot of time, but I think that's what we need to do in this country. Because if you read that chapter, it just, the Lord fought for them and he fights for us. And we need, we may feel outnumbered, but we're still in the, as long as we have the Lord with us, we're in the majority. That's my word for today.
Well, what a powerful word, Bob. And I'm sorry, we don't have more time. We're down to 10 seconds in the broadcast, but thank you so much. Maybe we'll have a conversation on Thursday I could have Bob Hagen call me in. I've got to say goodbye right now on Omega Radio. There's a roundtable discussion. Just go to www.omegaradio.org. You'll be involved in that right now. We're going to say goodbye to all of our friends out there in Radio Land on Blog Talk Radio. I'm Pastor Vincent Xavier. Till we meet again, shalom and God bless you.